Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
20 scouts were there.
They played a very good game against a very good team.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to bring you this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network.
Well, I think we competed.
Are you ready?
This is the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri here with Mr. Trevor Martin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Zion. Excited to get this Coaches Show started off here.
Yeah, so we'll start talking about the Arabian varsity baseball team. They had three matchups this week, the first being at Yorktown, where they were able to beat the conference Yorktown Tigers 1-0. Obviously, you know, we covered the home game. This was the away one, and they grabbed an early lead. Jackson Mayfield was the star of the night, pitched all seven innings, where he only allowed four hits, no runs, and eight strikeouts. So the Iwu commit showed out.
He did, Zion, and that's the kind of game, you know, those kind of knockdown, drag out. You get a 1-0 game, you know, one run's the difference, and you need a star pitcher in a game like that. And Mayfield exactly fit that bill for Pendleton Heights, and that's exactly the kind of game you want to win. Of course, I'm sure we'll touch on that too. Not the same result the next night, only getting one run as well. So maybe the bats kind of struggling early on for the Arabian baseball team, but still to win a game like that, again, I feel like I say it a lot, but when you're preparing for the next, you know, step is in like the sectional and trying to win the conference, things like that. Those kind of games are the ones you need to win. And a 1-0 game against Yorktown to start last week is definitely something to start for this Pendleton Heights baseball team.
Yeah, and then after that, they went two Pendletons into play, and Yorktown won 5-1. That first game, Liam of the sports staff told us it just wasn't their night. The bats weren't moving, but they were able to do enough. And they got that one run here in Yorktown, but just wasn't enough this time. They scored five. Carson Cawley got the start, pitched three innings, allowed two runs, and then Braden Stevenson, you know, kind of closed out the last four innings. But, I mean, they couldn't do enough. 12 total team strikeouts led to five runs, four hits for that Yorktown team, and they dominated.
They really designed. I think it's one of those games too, where, you know, 5-1, I think there was a couple, you know, maybe errors, a little lapse in judgment, which happens sometimes, and it's hard to, you know, beat a team twice. I feel like that's the common thing in sports across the board, is you beat a team one night, the next night it's going to be hard to repeat that performance. And just, but really, I know I was in here as a supervisor in the station. Obviously, you guys did a great job for our first broadcast of the spring, but it was one of those games where, yeah, they got, I think, four or five of those runs, and like, I think it was the bottom of the third inning or top of the third inning, I guess it was. And then after that point, they just, you know, didn't really look back, and they just, you know, piled it on in one inning, and neither team could really score after that. So one of those games too, where you get a lot of scoring in one or two innings. Then the rest of the game, it was, you know, kind of one of those similar things where you get a lot of innings up and down, no runs for either team. But of course, those five runs that Yorktown scored early on were, of course, the difference on that second matchup this past week for Pendleton Heights baseball.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to kind of sound like a broken record, this coach's show, but that game wasn't one I felt where Pendleton Heights really was struggling to hit the ball. They were putting it in play. Yorktown just made the plays in the outfield. And,
they did.
You know, kudos to them. They did a great job with that, as Pendleton Heights later took on HSE Saturday the 11th. They won that one 2-1. In a unique situation, Jack Kiesling drew a walk. A walk-off walk with bases loaded gave Pendleton Heights the 2-1 lead over HSE.
And that's super impressive, Zion, to have a game like that. And I think I even asked Liam Davis, so you have the sports staff too, this morning, actually. And I asked him, I was like, hey, okay, that was the walk-off one, you know, was 1-1 and getting that walk-off walk. I was like, how'd you guys get the first run? And he said it was a pass the ball. So think about that. It's like, again, maybe offensive struggle, but when you beat a team in HSE, I believe, looking back at stats, they've won now three straight matchups in three straight years against Hamlin Southeastern. And I feel like across the board, they're a tough team in basically every sport that we go up against them, for sure. So that's an impressive win for Pendleton Heights to get a win. There was a lot going on. Of course, we were covering the Horseshoe Classic. We'll get to that. We had the Pendleton Heights invite for the track team and baseball. So we had a very busy day at Pendleton Heights, but really across the board, just a great week and a great weekend on Saturday for the Arabians, Lady Arabians. Everyone who's competing was really impressive there. So that is one that stands out. Again, kind of one of those games, Ian, where they only scored, what, I guess four runs this whole week and two on Saturday, but they've got the 2-1 record this past week, so not too much to hang their heads on, and still a successful weekend with a winning record.
Yeah, seven hits in that HSE game. It was kind of pretty well spread out. And they're finding ways to win is the good side of things. It's just, you know, the hit total hasn't been where they've needed it to. Only one error. He set a goal this year, Coach Vosburgh did, was, you know, single-digit strikeouts. And they've still only been in single-digit strikeouts. They're competing at the plate, which is good. The pitching was pretty dominant. Caleb Rourke pitched five innings, allowed three hits. And then Liam Davis of the sports staff closed it out with two innings pitch, only allowing a run. He did walk three batters, but I mean, he held his own. He held you know, a 1-0 Hamilton Southeastern lead until the last two innings where Liam came in and Pendleton Knights took the lead. So, you know, the swing of momentum, they were able to transition between two pitchers in a 2-1 week. You can't be too mad.
No, you can't be. And honestly, Zion, too, in the game like that, to only use those two pitchers as well. I'm sure that's, you know, Coach Bosper. You got some games where I'm sure you utilize the bullpen more, but you kind of want to limit that if you can. And if you're having success, like Liam Davis was able to have some in relief, and if you're able to have good starting pitching that can get you three or four innings of work, you know, obviously, except for an extra inning game, you only have need to pitch seven. So if you're able to kind of limit, you know, pitch the aces, pitch, you know, the top pitchers, obviously, on those conference games, but still to be able to utilize the pitchers on Saturday, Liam, as well. So it's just good to be able to see the stability of this team and how the pitching really has been a factor and in a good way. You know, again, only giving up five runs, but a lot of those were just, you know, one plan with, I think, scored two runs in that Yorktown game. So overall, being able to kind of manage things like that and not, you know, get in their heads too much and be able to, you know, not maintain leads, but also not giving up too many runs too, mm-hmm. is what leads to a winning recipe for sure for any team.
Yeah, Camden Saxon leads his team in batting average with .350 on base percentage. We'll go to Colin Axel Adams, .435. Leading the team in hits is Camden Saxon with 7 singles. Camden Saxon with 6 doubles. Jack Kiesling lead off with 2, and third base triples would be Colin Axel Adams with 2. So 4-3 stand the Pendleton Knights Arabians. So they've competed in all their games, and you know they are earning those wins. As we'll transition here over to the Pendleton Knights Lady Arabians, we'll start this week. They had a lot of games. I believe Shenandoah was where they started this week, yes. On Tuesday.
Yeah,
so they get a big win over the Lady Raiders.
Yeah, that was, I think it was 11-8, I believe, the final score in that one, Zion. So a really high-scoring game. And that was one, I think, for Pendleton Knights that they really wanted to get. I believe that was their first win of the season. So to be able to get that this week was really impressive. And we can get to that, too. But then turned it around with a Thursday performance and winning by 15 runs over Lawrence North as well. So just a really successful week. And then, of course, we'll get the Horseshoe Classic in a second as well. But I think the way they started out, too, with Shenandoah, you know, road game, but not too far away. So obviously, you know, you kind of maybe, you know, bring a little bit more of a crowd potentially in a game like that. And I think it's one of those games where it showed that, you know, they gave up a lot of runs, but I believe Zion, looking at the box score, they were up 11-4 going into the bottom of the seventh, gave up those 4 runs. But when you build up that much of a lead, you don't want to see that dissipate. Now it almost did towards the end of that game, but still to be able to, you know, win by 3 runs was good for them to get that motivation, win a couple last week. And then I guess they actually ended up winning 3 on the week when they had 5 games. So again, the winning record for the softball team as well as baseball was again, a really good week for Pendleton Knights softball.
Yeah, and then they went on to play the Lawrence North Lady Wildcats. Lawrence North, I believe I mixed that up. They won that one 18-3. Wow. They really showed out against the North Wildcats. And they had 2 home runs at the hand of Aubrey Fox. 6 RBIs in total, 3 hits for her. Allie Carlin had a 4-for-4 game. They kind of lit up the stat sheet. I believe Brinley Holden had a home run for herself. It was a big highlight game to kind of, you know, go into the Horseshoe Classic with momentum.
It really was, Zion. I remember looking at that box score, too. They had 10 runs in the top of the first. So when you can kind of rock a team like that, you knew it was going to be a win for Pendleton Knights. It was just a matter of getting all the way to that fifth inning. But they kept scoring kind of consistent throughout the game as well. So when you could start out like that, that obviously is kind of demoralizing for a team when they were the home team and had to bat being down 10-0. I'm sure that was difficult for Lawrence North in that situation. But still, for Pendleton Knights to be able to come away with a big win like that on Thursday was really impressive. And like you said, Zion really led them into their Horseshoe Classic on Saturday, which we'll get to, I believe, right now.
Yeah, and next up, the Lady Arabians played East Central, the first game of the Horseshoe Classic. Lost that one 4-0, and East Central scored 3 in the second inning, which is, you know, where most of the pain happened. Pendleton Knights defensively kind of started to crumble a little bit late, because that's where that one run came in the seventh. But I really think Pendleton Knights would have had a really good chance to win this game, if not win it, if not for that second inning where Pendleton Knights led up, I believe, 3 hits in total.
Right, and that's kind of the problem too, Zion. And I think, you know, obviously I kind of, as you said in the broadcast, kind of the closer Liam Davis had to leave, I believe, for batting practice with the baseball team, so I filled in at the end of that game. But I feel like too, yeah, in that situation, they had no runs all game, but we mentioned, I believe you talked about, bottom of the second and the seventh, they left the bases loaded. So if they could get, of course, all those runners in, or even a couple of them, that really changes the complexion of the game. If you're able to, you know, score a couple of those runs when you have the situations, that always, I feel like, as a stat, we probably see on the Max Preps, you know, who we use for our stats as well, but just to see how many you leave on base and having at least 6, and I think it was probably more like 8 or 10 in that whole game. It's obviously tough for Coach Davis and the whole team to leave those batters, leave those runners on, rather, when those girls are at the plate. So it's hard, of course, too, because, you know, maybe there's 1 out, maybe there's 2 outs. It's hard when you have runners on. You know, there's the pressure to get them in, but also maybe, you know, go down swinging, or, you know, just situations like that are hard to kind of come over and go over, of course, when you have a situation like that. But I would say overall, it was, you know, not a bad weekend, and, you know, bringing in some of the best teams in the state too, with Lake Central, we'll get to them as well. Just such an impressive weekend when you consider the level of talent that was here at Legends Field on Saturday.
Yeah, Jennings County came into the tournament 7-0. Lake Central was, according to Coach Davis, number 1 in the state. The poll I used, they were number 3. Center Grove was number 5. These are some great teams in the state. And, you know, East Central currently, I don't believe they were ranked at the time Pendleton Knights played them, but I think they will be later. They really As Pendleton Knights did to Lawrence North, they started that game with a huge just punch in the face, and Lawrence North failed to reply. That was this for Pendleton Knights. The second inning, you know, it all came, the three runs there, and they weren't able to reply and get any offensive momentum, and push came to shove, East Central wins, and we'll move on here to the Lake Central game. The second game we covered, Pendleton Knights lost that one 12-2 in a run rule.
And Zion, that was one too. I mean, we'll get to that as well. But Matty Such, other pitchers, a University of Kentucky commit. They had a couple IU commits as well on their team. So Lake Central, again, across the board, I think you said too in the broadcast, Zion, you know, all the stats and all the work and history you looked at, Lake Central's never had a losing season. So it just goes to show how successful they are. They get those 25, even 30 wins sometimes in a season when they make those deep runs in the state tournament. And it just goes to show that they're normally going to be a team, as you know, we can cover as well. But, you know, they did end up winning the Horseshoe Classic at the end of the day. So they were just impressive throughout. You know, I think they even, one thing, I don't know if you saw Tucson, but they beat East Central, I believe, 12-0. So that was crazy that they, you know, run ruled us. At least we were able to get, you know, two runs against them, which I know we mentioned on the broadcast. They only had given up one run all season up to that point. And through, I guess, now seven games, they've given up just a handful more. I think that, I believe, Central Grove scored two against them as well. But Pendleton Knights, at that point, is still tied for the most runs Lake Central's given up all season. So really, that's nothing for Pendleton Knights to hang their heads on. And Lake Central, I mean, they're, kudos to them. They've got such a great team. And Coach Tovar, I know, over there, you know, does a great job with them. So really impressive to see them win yet again in the Horseshoe Classic.
Yeah, that second inning where Pendleton Knights got those two runs, it was huge for them. You felt the morale, like, okay, we can do this thing. And it led to the top of the third where Lake Central put up eight on this team and kind of made the run rule threat a possibility there. Right. So that two runs for Pendleton Heights in the second kind of proves to me that they have the potential to do this. It's just about putting all the pieces together at the right time. So I feel like that was pretty motivating for this team, but you don't want to come out of this as, you know, we got run rule, but we did put two on them. That's a moral victory. Obviously not the way to think about this, but they really competed hard. Coach Davis agreed with me post game, and, you know, it was unfortunate they had to play these two at the start of the tournament.
It really was tough, Zion. I know he said this, the way the schedule was working out, you might, you know, not have a lot of wins coming in that schedule, but like you said too, you know, yeah, it was down 11-2 after three, but then they did have a couple of scoreless innings. I think it did take to the top of the fifth for Lake Central to get that 12th run. That was for the run rule. So they could hang their heads after being down by nine and giving up, you know, three or four more in the, I think it was the fourth inning it would have been, and then even the fifth, but they had, I guess maybe it's just one scoreless inning, but either way, they still were able to put up a zero on the board for one half inning for Lake Central. So that still speaks volumes, like you said, to the ability to still be in the what there. I think their sixth game of the season at that point, but to not let the phase them, be able to kind of come back and respond is really impressive for Pendleton Knights. And it just goes to show that I think this team can compete because they scored a couple. They're able to maybe compete, you know, if it comes to playing Lake Central again. I don't think they will, but if they ever came to that, I think they'd be more prepared and even more ready because they've played teams like Center Grove and Lake Central, and East Central for that matter, in the first few games of the season.
Yeah, a very tough loss to Lake Central propelled them into the Jennings County game where, you know, they, Pendleton Knights, was able to get a win in the Horseshoe Classic. That one, I believe, 13-5
got it
over Jennings County. So go to get back in the win column, establish who you are after playing two really tough caliber schools. As I mentioned, Jennings County came into this tournament undefeated, so a scratch on their record from Pendleton Heights.
Yeah, and actually, Zion, I think we're looking too. I believe actually Jennings County lost, which is surprising, all three, but it just goes to show the level of competition. They were 7-0 coming in and actually went 0-3 on the weekend for at Pendleton Heights. So it's still, I think, in that fifth place game, Pendleton Heights played on the JV field. So not used to the varsity team playing over there, but sometimes that's what has to happen. I think it's, you know, obviously same dimensions, everything that the varsity field is, the main field for sure. But I think for Pendleton Heights, like you said, great way to end the weekend to go into, I believe actually they play tonight. We can get to that later too. But I believe after we get off the air here, they'll be playing at Shelbyville. So again, another chance to face a conference foe and kind of with that win on Saturday, giving them some confidence. I believe with one more win, they can get back to 500. So I know that's what Coach Davis wants to do. And of course, and then beyond to get over 500, but to get that to start is definitely something I know he's looking to do even tonight.
Well, that'll wrap it up for this opening segment. Stay tuned for more on today's Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. 91.7 WEEM.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Sprunger & Sprunger Attorneys at Law. Located at 138 West State Street in Pendleton, their phone number is 463-27-3960 or online at sprungerandsprunger.com.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by Adam Christensen, Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Life, auto, home, and farm insurance located at 6521B South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-1754 or online at infarmbureau.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. Welcome back to this week's edition of the ASN Coaches Show. I'm Benson Davis, joined alongside coach of the Pendleton Heights boys baseball team,
Coach Fosberg, how's it going?
Living the dream. How about you?
Doing all right. All right, Coach, you got some questions for you. We'll hop right in. And so, Coach Fosberg, your team is off to a solid 4-3 start and coming off of a 2-1 walk-off win over HSC. What did that win in particular say about this group?
Yeah, that HSC's had a strong season so far. And, you know, we've had a game plan for HSC the last couple of years. You know, that's actually our third win in a row against HSC. We've got kind of a game plan about how we want to approach that game, what kind of pitching we want to throw their way, and how we want to kind of manage that game. So we feel really comfortable going into games like that with the guys that we have on the mound. Liam Davis and Caleb Rourke gave us just outstanding innings on the mound. We got down early, which is, again, something that we had to deal with a couple of times this year. Newcastle, we were down early. We were able to come back. This game was another good example of a low-scoring game and maximizing our opportunities when we had them late in the game. You know, we were down 1-0 going into the sixth of that game, and we were still able to, you know, get the tying run across the plate and play a little small ball and then win it off in the seventh inning. So anytime that you can beat a good team to give yourself some momentum going into the next week on that off-conference game, that's always going to be a good momentum builder and confidence builder for us.
Absolutely. And like you said, that game was, you know, you're down 1 going into the sixth. So that game coming down to the final moments, how do you feel that your team is handling these high-pressure situations so far this season?
Yeah, it was interesting. The first conference game that we had, you know, it was a tough 1-0 game. You know, so it's a pressure game all the way through. In the last couple of years, we've kind of gotten spoiled with some of our offensive output. We had some guys that could really drive baseballs, and you know, we would score a ton of runs last year. You know, we would get up early and continue to add on to that lead. You know, and every team's a little bit different in their offensive makeup and their defensive makeup, their makeup on the mound. And so this team seems to be identifying itself right now as a team that can really handle the pressure moments in those tight games to go out and execute, play really good defense, execute on the mound. And then, you know, offensively, we just need to maximize our opportunities. You know, in that Yorktown game last week where we lost 5-1, we felt like we could have had that game. We left a lot of guys on base. We left a lot of guys in scoring position. Couldn't really get that big hit that we needed when we needed it. And so, you know, we're going to be in a lot of tight games, and ultimately that's going to serve us well when it comes time for the tournament to, you know, be able to go back to those moments that you've had throughout the year in which you've been able to play really solid defense, to pitch and make pressure pitches, and to execute offensively when we needed it to be in high pressure moments. So I just love the fight that we showed on Saturday, the ability to stay composed and to get the job done when it mattered the most.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, a little bit of an offensive struggle in certain games. The team so far, although having a winner record, has scored 23 runs and allowed 36. So what specifically do you think needs to improve offensively to kind of close that gap?
Yeah, so you have to take that with a grain of salt. You know, in Tennessee, the primary difference is going to come in Tennessee. So an 11-1 game and a 10-3 game. So you take those two games away, and our offense, or our pitching and our defense has been really, really good. You know, we're going to be able to score. When it comes down to the postseason, you're going to find yourselves in low scoring games because you're putting your best pitcher out there. You're facing someone else's best pitcher. When you get into some of those Tennessee games where you've already gone through two conference games, or you're trying to play 4 or 5 games in 4 or 5 days, you know, you're going to test the depths of your pitching. You know, in a typical 3-4 game week that's spread out from Monday to Saturday, you're going to be able to bring back guys, you know, manage pitchers a little bit better. Guys that you might be able to keep a guy to like 40 pitches on a Monday, bring him back for a Saturday. And so the one guy that's going to give you some good innings can allow you to keep that run differential down. But if you take away those two different games in Tennessee, you know, I'm pretty pleased right now with where we're at with our defense and with our pitching, keeping us in games all the way through from the first inning to the last inning. That's only going to continue to improve as we get into a routine, as we get into a more consistent rotation. That first week, there was a lot of variables for us as a team, just with the travel, with the different guys that we had available. Our rotation will look a lot different moving forward. So I think you'll see that gap close just organically over the next few weeks because of the routine that we've got our guys in now, the regular season that's here. So I think that's just, you'll see that start that gap will start to close as we get more comfortable offensively. But if we maintain the defense and the pitching where we're at right now, and then we just make some adjustments and continue to get more comfortable at the plate, that gap will start to close.
Awesome. Yeah. And you have another game tonight, Covenant Christian. And then after that, though, you get a little bit of a break, which is kind of rare at this point in the baseball season. So you get a 5-day break. So how do you balance maintaining that momentum while also making the most of that time off?
Yeah, this was traditionally that Madison County week. And so there's a couple of different things that we're doing schedule-wise this year. So we picked up Covenant Christian. I could be wrong, but I believe this is the first ever matchup history between Pendleton Heights and Covenant Christian. So it'll be interesting to go down there. Covenant Christian plays a strong schedule. You know, they play the Carmels, the Cathedrals of the world. And so we're excited to go down and see what they have to in terms of a competition level for us. And then we're going to go into Saturday with that modified Muller, where it's just a four-team invitational this year. So it's going to be Brebeuf, North Central, Anderson, and ourselves. You know, two games to start the day, and then the losing teams will finish that third game, and the winning teams will take that championship game in the evening. So, you know, it's a little bit different of a week. We still have a three-game week, which is pretty typical for a high school season. It's just the atypical piece is the fact that we'll be off from Tuesday to Friday. At the same time, we've still got some guys that have, you know, not seen the same number of at-bats that other guys have had. And so when you have three teams in your program that kind of help feed their varsity level, so the JV White and the JV Green, we're going to be able to send a few guys to get some innings on the mound, to send some guys to get some extra at-bats, to keep them fresh, to keep them ready to go for that tournament-style format on Saturday.
Yeah, and going into tournament season, you're seven games in and, you know, 4-3. How would you describe this team's identity?
I think this team is scrappy. I think this team is competitive. We've got guys that want to be on the field. They want the opportunities. And so we're kind of mixing and matching some pieces. You know, we're young, and so there were some learning curves. I really think we're starting to settle in a little bit. We're relying on our pitching. We have trust and faith in our pitching. And as we get more comfortable at the plate, you know, we've got guys that can get the job done. We just got to get them there. The identity of our team right now is just, I really feel like we're competitive. We're scrappy. We want those big moments, and we're coming through so far. We're playing in tough, tight games, and that's going to serve us well by the end of the year.
Yeah. And one last question for you, Coach Fosberg. You mentioned that. What do you think the next step for this group is to kind of continue improving as you head into this, you know, end of the season and further on?
Yeah, it's offensively. We've just got to make sure that we're not trying to do too much. You know, I feel like some of our guys, you know, we lost a huge senior group last year. We kind of keep berating that point, but it is the fact, you know, the nature of the beast right now is that, you know, we had a team that had 2 to 3 years of experience last year at the varsity level. This year, we've got guys that, you know, we've only got maybe two or three guys that have that same experience at the varsity level. And then those guys who have had the time at the varsity level had always been able to rely, rely on some of those older guys to help carry that cross, if you will, right? Carry that burden. Well, now those guys are being asked to step up in different ways. There's a different mindset, a different level of pressure that comes with that. And as they continue to get more comfortable, as they continue just to kind of go back and do what we've always done, you know, not trying to do too much, rely on the people above and below you in the order to help you get the job done. It's not all on one guy. And I think as long as we start to embrace who we are offensively, to really buy into some of that small ball that has led us to a couple of really close wins, and continue to just trust all the skill that you have built up over your years, we're gonna take that step in the right direction offensively and be even better than we are right now.
Awesome. Well, Coach Fosberg, thank you so much for joining us. I've been Benson Davis. This is the ASN Coaches Show. We'll see you next Monday, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group, Retirement Planning, Risk Management, and Legacy Planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001. Or online at talktofeg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by S&B Heating and Cooling. Located at 6879 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044. Online at sbheatingcooling.com. Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEN. We welcome you here to this interview on today's Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri. Joined alongside me, head coach of the Lady Arabian softball team, Coach Davis. How you doing today?
Good. How are you, Zion?
I'm good. So you had a busy week this week. We'll start off at Shenandoah. You guys got the win 11-8. You know, you got a nice early lead, and as the game went on, it started to falter a little bit, but you held on. Tell me a little bit about that game.
Well, it was a little disappointing. You know, we come out and we score a bunch early, and then we decided we were going to go on limp mode and just go through the motions, and made a couple errors to start the inning off, and they scored four runs. So, and then we're in a, you know, 7-4 ball game, then 9-4, and then we get it to 11-4, and then in the bottom of the seventh, we decide we're going to walk the lead off, make an error, and let them score four more. So, you know, two innings, they score four runs. You know, and that's, you know, what kind of what we're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be there to start and who's going to be there to finish, because, you know, we got to play full seven innings, and with 11 runs, that game shouldn't have been that close.
Yeah, a game you didn't play all seven innings. Lawrence North, you guys started with a 10-run first inning and your 18-3 win. How do you replicate that hot start?
Well, they just came, you know, we came with an attitude. They threw the ball across the plate and we hit it. You know, we didn't sit there and wait for umpires calls balls and strikes. You know, if it was a strike, we went after it. And, you know, we hit a couple three home runs that game. I think three of them. Aubrey Fox hit two and Brindley hit one. You know, and things were going good. So, you know, that was a game that, you know, that they were down a little bit from what they have been in the past. So, you know, to see us come out with a fast start like that was good to see finally.
Yeah, and then after that, we went into the Horseshoe Classic. First, the East Central game. You guys lost that one 4-0. I felt like Pendleton Knights did a very good job that game. They hit what was given to them, but they couldn't get offensive, you know, production on the scoreboard at the end of the day. East Central seemed to make all the right plays. What do you do when you're playing a team defensively that just, you know, they had a perfect game well?
Well, I mean, we had three hits. You know, three hits ain't going when you make ball games. You know, and they made a couple nice plays. I felt like on Aubrey going down the line, and Cassie hit one to left deep, and they made a good, you know, turn on the ball and made a nice catch. Could have changed the ball game a little bit. But, you know, again, there's our defense. You know, they scored the four runs in the second inning, I think it was, maybe. You know, it all started with walks and errors. So, we kind of, you know, have a tendency to do that to ourselves. And, you know, that's something that we got to straighten out.
Yeah, you started with Brindley Holton and then quickly moved to Josie Statzer. It seemed like you were just really looking to find a girl that was consistent, and it was Statzer until late in that game where it wasn't. How do you look for consistency, and who's your next girl you're looking to?
Well, you know, I mean, I got all the faith in the world in Brindley. You know, we were put her in there to try to figure out, you know, how long she could go. You know, again, we made mistakes behind her. You know, shortstop, an error at shortstop starts the inning off. And that's where they scored the runs. And with Josie's been our most consistent pitcher with Morgan being hurt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was no doubt that I wasn't going to Josie. It was just a matter of when.
Yeah, and then after that, Pendleton Knights played Lake Central, lost that one 12-2. And that one, you know, Lake Central knocked the lights off of that ball. What I wanted to talk about in this game is the second inning. Pendleton Knights had a spark. They scored two runs. What do you think of, because on the broadcast we talked, like, Pendleton Knights can do this. They can make plays. They did it in the second inning. How do you replicate that, and how do you take that and get more from it?
Well, I mean, you know, the Lake Central game, you know, I mean, and again, you know, Lake Central has got four D1 mm-hmm. softball players that are top of the line, you know, in the state of Indiana, in the Midwest, you know, I feel. And, you know, for us to go 3-2 on them, you know, right where we want to be, and then we miss a routine fly ball between my shortstop and second baseman that would have ended the inning, but then they go on and score eight runs that inning. So, you know, that game shouldn't have been as lopsided as it was, as early as it was. But then again, you know, go back to defense, you know, the routine plays. And that's what we're trying to fix, and that's what we're coaching, trying to find players that can make the routine plays, and then we'll take the wow plays if they happen.
I feel like you got to celebrate the wins while you can up to that point. That is the most runs the team has scored on Lake Central so far this year. Does the team know that? Do they feel like, you know, they put up a good effort to start that game and kind of faltered a bit? You know, it's easy to leave morally frustrated.
Well, I mean, to be quite honest with you, it's a stat that I'm not sure I even realized that we scored more runs on them than anybody else. you know. But and again, you know, I'm not taking the credit any credit away from us, but there was an error in the outfield that scored the two runs also, you know. So, you know, and, you know, you watch college softball, everybody's making mistakes. So, you know, we just got to fight through them and figure out after you make the mistake how you fix it. But, you know, they knew where all the girls were going. They knew. And I think we had a better focus in the Lake Central game at the beginning than we did the entire game against the East Central game at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and then moving on, you guys went 3-2 on the week with a win over Jennings County. What did it mean to you to get back in the win column with a nice eight-run sixth inning?
Well, you know, I mean, that's great. You know, I mean, that's what we're trying to do. You know, the sad part about it, you know, Jennings County scores three runs the first inning on mistakes again. You know, we make an error, and then we make another mistake, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're down 3-0. And, you know, we fought until, what was the eighth inning you said we scored?
Mm-hmm.
The eight runs we scored in the fifth.
Sixth.
In the sixth inning. Yeah. You know, I mean, we just kept fighting and plugging away. I mean, I made a call there with when we were down 4-3 with runners at third and second. And I pinch hit Macy Hufford, my freshman, and she hit ones back up the middle to take the lead. And we never looked back.
Yeah, and, you know, the only other thing I got for your coach is that was a heavy week. You played five games in total, and this week you play three. Where are you trying to find this downtime where your team can, you know, kind of catch their breath a little bit and rest?
Well, you know, there's no rest in spring. You know, it's like this every week. You know, we got anywhere from three to five games every week from here on out. You know, we're just trying to find the most consistent players. The girls are going to hit the ball, put the ball, and play hard. And make routine plays, and my pitching staff, the ones that are going to make the pitches, you know. So, you know, we're getting there. I felt like after Saturday, you know, even though it was a 1-2 day, I felt like I feel like we're getting better.
Yeah, and then final question for you. You play Shelbyville tonight. What changes for you in a conference game?
You know, it's not really going to change anything. You know, we're still looking for the right lineup. You know, it's our only conference game before the last six of the year, so we're going to go after it and try to get better.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me and good luck this week.
All right. Thank you, Amazon.
Stay tuned for more on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
Tune in and type up for 91.7 WEEM.org, the greatest website for the greatest student-run radio station. Whatever you need, we've got it. From sports to podcasts to weather and more, we have everything you're looking for. It's all here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at BendelLawnEquip.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. Welcome to this segment of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Gordon Miller and I'm joined by
Rylan Montgomery.
He is a junior baseball player for Pendleton Heights High School. Rylan, how's your day been?
It's been pretty good. Going pretty well throughout. And thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. I say I'm gonna have some questions. How long have you been playing baseball, and what drew you into the sport eventually?
I've been playing baseball since I was about three, and just doing that my whole life. And I got into it just throughout my family. Just been going through the seeing all my cousins play and all my friends, and just thought I'd join in.
What's your favorite part of the sport?
I really like the culture and just building friendship. Like the amount of friends I made from this sport is insane. I've met people from different states and just areas, and just the culture you get from it and the lessons. Like you learn how to be mentally strong and just a lot of characteristics that'll help you later in life, and how to like time management, and just it'll build you as a person the more you do it.
What about the culture do you like? Like, is it the food, the atmosphere?
I really like the atmosphere, and I like just having, it's almost like just having pressure on you and just being, having something to do, but also just being there. Like, having, like, for instance, this year, I am one of the few returning guys, and just having that on me, just, it feels good to have a team behind me, and just the culture is just like, I'm able to pass it down and keep it going throughout the whole high school and whoever plays baseball.
What does it say would be the hardest part of the sport and the easiest?
Hardest is, I would definitely say, your head. It's a really tough mentally game, and you can ask anybody that plays a sport. It kills you. It's challenging, but this game finds ways to just chew you apart. You'll be playing the worst game of your life, and then the next day you could just have it. Just everything switches.
What do you do to usually handle stress?
I like to either meditate before games and kind of just slow my heart rate down. I'll maybe do some yoga, just ways to slow your heart rate. Before a game, I'll go through old videos or just seeing good memories, just like videos of me hitting from a couple years ago, just to relive that. And just, if you're struggling, the worst thing you can do is get back in your head. So you got to try to clear that. So you just got to find ways to feel good about yourself and have confidence.
What's the most memorable game that you like to watch?
I would say my most memorable game would be probably last year, the LaPel County final game. It was a late game. It started probably around 7:30, and it was electric. Stands were packed. There was more people than I've ever played in front of. It was a close game. We went 9 innings back and forth, both teams just battling it out. And sadly, we didn't end up winning, but just feeling that atmosphere and just the way the game can really change and how inspirational and how involved this town is with the game just really, really clicked that night.
What's it like playing shortstop?
I really like it. Being the leader on the field really, really makes me feel good. Being able to just like pick teammates up or like just be there. A shortstop, I'm there. I'm involved with everything. I'm cut or I'm getting the ball or I'm just telling my teammates, hey, you got this. Just, I got to let everyone know what they're doing. Just being a leader, just really, it really, really feels good. And it really feels like I'm really helping the team. It's a really fun position in general.
What's it really like being a leader in baseball?
I think it's really important. I would say I'm one of the leaders on the team. But it's just like, it feels good to know that you have a team that, say I'm before a game, I'll hype everyone up, but then say I'm not playing very good. The team will back me up and they will, even if I'm not doing good, they'll be there for me. And same thing with them. I'll always be there for them. And just having someone behind your back, just, it really feels good.
How do you study opponents for a big game?
I'll usually hop on Twitter or X and find the starting pitcher that we're facing or just kind of go through their team just to kind of see what I'll be facing. I just go through a couple of their main starters or just pitchers in general, see kind of what they throw, how hard they throw, what kind of pitches they have, just kind of seeing all that. Then I'll see like, hey, what's this guy like? For instance, my shortstop, since I'm playing short, I'll be like, hey, where's this batter usually go with the ball? Is he pole side? Is he usually away? So I kind of know where to shade, and I can share that information off with my teammates.
Nice. What does a practice routine normally look like for you?
I'll get to the field around 2:40, 2:45. I'll get dressed, and we'll go outside, and I'll take one of my teammates, and we'll go do our little pregame infield, which is really just hand work. We'll just work on some simple just hand-eye coordination with the baseball. Then we'll go stretch, we'll run, and we'll get throwing. And then we usually will do some defensive reps, some situational stuff. And then we usually go into our hitting portion, and that'll be another hour. And that's really, it's just really fun. As a team, we have good vibes. we really spark as a team. We have really good friendships and we all get along, and practice is just really, really fun to be there. It's not like you hate being there. I mean, practice is a good time of the year to be going to.
What does he go see a mind doing like a big play?
Usually I try to stay calm. If I usually before the pitch, I kind of think like where I'm going with the ball or like what needs to be happening, where I need to be. So usually when that big play comes, I'm usually ready, and I'm ready to know where I'm going. I'm usually pretty calm and I know what I'm doing with the ball. But sometimes they'll catch you on your feet and you'll just have to react and play a game. I mean, you just got to be a ball player.
What's one milestone you hope to achieve this year?
This year I want to get junior All-State and be a top player in the conference.
What's that matters the most to you and why does it matter?
I would definitely say hits or on base percentage, just because that really helps the team. Being on is a big portion, and just being there for the team. I mean, if I can get on, then my teammates can help and get around and get some runs in, and then hits, that just goes along with it. The more hits, the more you're on base.
What motivates you, like, in the middle of a game when, like, times are tough?
Just having my team. Like, when I think about, it's not a selfish game. You have to play for your team. So if I don't play a good game, if I'm not playing a good game, I just got to remember, nobody's here for me. They're here to see the team win. So you kind of got to put that in the back of your head and be like, all right, got to move on. We got to do this for the team. How am I going to help the team out in a certain way? Or how am I going to contribute, even if I'm not doing well? How can I help the team? Like, even if that's like just picking a teammate up or telling my teammates what they got to do or, you know, anything like that.
How has baseball helped you off the diamond?
Off the diamond, I've definitely gotten better with my time management. Just like if I have to be there on a certain time now, ever since I've started playing baseball for a couple of years, I've been able to get there like 15, 20 minutes early. Just that kind of stuff. And then also like really mentally, it's made me strong. Say like in school, if like I fail a test or something, I'll be like, okay, next one. Just, there's always more tests to go to. Like just that kind of mentality, like, you know, it's in the past, got to move on. And there's always a better way. You can always get out of something that is bad or not going too well.
How do you balance like baseball and schoolwork?
So I have a study hall and I usually get my work done, a lot of the work in there. And then I might have one or two homework assignments for a class outside of baseball. But if it's just a practice night, I'll be home by 5:45, 6 o'clock, which gives me plenty enough time to get that done and have that. But if it's a game night, I really try to focus on getting it done in school, throughout, just chip away at it throughout my classes. And hopefully if I don't have anything, that'll be nice. But if not, I'll just have to stay up late getting that done after the game.
What advice would you give to younger players?
I would say don't put too much pressure on yourselves and just have fun. I mean, you got a whole many years ahead of you of baseball. And you just got to enjoy it. That's a whole part of it. And you just got to have fun, make some friends, and not care too much. It's a carefree game. You just got to go out there, try your hardest, and just enjoy the experience because it goes fast.
Thank you. That's me all the time we have for this segment of the Arabian Sports Network. Coach Isso, I was Colton Mailin, and I was joined by
Riley Montgomery.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And see you all later.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy Nick and Leanne Rogers. Located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by the Adam Custer Insurance Agency, American Family Insurance, Home, Auto, Life, Farm, and Commercial Insurance in Pendleton and Oaklandon, 765-221-2082.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the ASN Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri, joined alongside Mr. Trevor Martin. To close this Coaches Show out, we've got our closing segment here. We talked about the weeks Pendleton Heights had on the baseball and softball side, we'll start with softball coming off of a tough Horseshoe Classic where Pendleton Knights went 1-2. They still on this week went, I believe, 3-2.
Yeah,
they went out the week.
They did, yeah.
So a very tough week, but they were able to get out with that with a win. And this week they've also got three games tonight at Shelbyville, 6 p.m. start. Wednesday versus LaPel, a 5:30 start. And then versus Fishers, both those games at home. 5 o'clock start, I believe, for both of those, and we're going to be covering those.
Yeah.
So good. We'll see them in action this week, but a very long last week going into a 3-game week this week. You got to wonder, you know, how much they got in the tank.
Right. That is true. And I think it does help prepare you when you have, I think, a 5-game week where they probably won't play any more than that in a week, the rest of the season, but still to get those, obviously the three games, you know, the one, of course, tonight being the conference game, that's the one you want to get. But then of course, even bragging rights, since there's no more county tournament for softball, you have LaPel coming here on Wednesday. That's the one you want to get to be able to kind of continue those standings and see if you can obviously beat your county foes, a team that you normally would see this point in the season in the county tournament, but it's still a chance to take on LaPel on Wednesday at home. And then, of course, Fishers, like we say in a lot of sports, like HSC, like Carmel, like Noblesville, they're always going to be a solid team. So that'll be a tough one coming in here on Thursday night as well. But I think it's good to play those back-to-backs because I believe in the, you know, sectional tournament, you have to win those games where, you know, maybe it's a Wednesday, Thursday, or Thursday, Friday. Like, you have to win back-to-back days. So I know, you know, basketball does this. Of course, football is once a week. But when you have sports where you play multiple times a week, it helps prepare you for the tournament and the sectional because you're able to have those games where you can hopefully, you know, win all three this week or at least go 2-1, another winning record on this week. So I think Pendleton Knights softball set up for a good week. I think every opponent brings their own set of challenges, but I think with two of those being at home on back-to-back nights, Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be covering both of those. So outside of tonight, which is a far trip to Shelbyville, and obviously Zion, we talk about a lot of sports, but I'm sure the last time Pendleton Knights softball will play Shelbyville because, like you say, across the board, they're leaving the conference after this year. So I assume it would be the last matchup for the foreseeable future between Pendleton Knights and Shelbyville. But it'll be one to, I think, see tonight. Hopefully they can come away with the victory and then see what happens the rest of this week. But I really think they're set up for a good 2-1, hopefully 3-0 undefeated week.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this lineup changes for them because Coach Davis has not been afraid to switch it around.
Yeah.
We saw in the Horseshoe Classic, Aaron Davis didn't have a great Horseshoe Classic. I don't have the exact stats on me because it was a 3-game tournament. But Allie Carlin in the Jennings County game went 2-for-4. She was the leadoff in that scenario, which was not the case in the two other games. Avery Miller had 5 at-bats versus Jennings County, and Grace Fisher only had 1. You know, they have not been scared to shake things around. Harley Coleman had a great Horseshoe Classic.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of the shining light in that Lake Central game, and she was 3-for-3 at Jennings County. You got to imagine maybe they put her in that 3-4 spot in the batting order because she's the one hot right now getting it done. I'm curious how they shake things out, especially against a conference opponent tonight.
Yeah, me too, Zion. And we even talked about, too, just like the youth of the team as well. I mean, you know, even, you know, was it Macy Hufford came in and batted a couple of times for Pendleton Knights. So you just see across the board that's why we spoke volumes about how his ability to, you know, have been here for so long. He knows what it takes. And obviously they're led by what I think there's 5 or 6 seniors on the roster, too. So it's not like there's a shortage of leadership and seniors on this team. But when you can utilize those freshmen and sophomores to come in and, you know, courtesy run or pinch hit or things like that, that really continues to expand the success of what Pendleton Knights softball has been and will continue to be with Coach Davis at the helm. And obviously, you know, even I know Coach Lauren Landis was a grad here and she's on staff, and even, you know, Coach Haley Cox at first base as well. They really across the board, I think, really pour a lot and invest into these girls. And I think it goes to show that you can, you know, really pretty much bat 1 through 9. Sometimes the bats aren't going and that's okay, but you can shift things up and have, you know, flex players. I think you see that a lot more in softball where you can have players that maybe designated a player one day or flexing, but then they could still, you know, still bad and still have situations where they can make big runs and have success. So it's really cool to see that versatility of this Pendleton Knights softball team. And that's what I think leads them to success now and hopefully later on into the end of part of May with sectional because they have this versatility in the lineup.
We'll pivot here to the boys side of things. The baseball team tonight plays Covenant Christian at Covenant Christian, 5:30 start for them. And then Saturday they have the start of the Nick Moeller tournament. That one is, what is that field called? Memorial
Field? Memorial Field, yeah, like in Anderson, yep.
Yeah, they'll be playing that one there in neutral territory. They're going to play Brebeuf Jesuit, so a soon-to-be conference foe in an odd environment there. And then they'll play another game based on, you know, the winner and loser of those. So I'm excited. They're in an in-season tournament setting. Of course, they went to Tennessee to shake things up, but you're going to get better from these games and excited to see how they do.
And me too, Zion. I know, just kind of looking at the schedule, I'm sure other people, you know, listening and following Pendleton Knights baseball know that normally in the Tuesday, Wednesday, you might have a game on Monday or Friday or Saturday, but usually that Tuesday, Wednesday is reserved for conference play. But this is kind of the one week that's different because you have, yeah, obviously Covenant Christian, a non-conference opponent tonight, and Brebeuf Jesuit, who will be a conference opponent in a couple years, but right now still a non-conference game in Anderson. So, you know, close road game, I guess a neutral site would be the right way to word that. So I'm sure for them, it's actually kind of nice to have, you know, one game to start the week, one game to end. So honestly, Zion, they might be able to use some pitchers even tonight, because still maybe pitch Saturday, or at least if they don't have a lot of pitches, maybe to be able to do that. Because normally you're going to have maybe three or four games in a week, and two of those are going to be your conference games. But this is that one kind of strange week where that doesn't happen for the Sarabian baseball team. So it kind of gives them the ability to maybe, you know, when we talk about versatility with softball, maybe with baseball too, utilize some different lineups, just kind of see what works. And it's kind of a, you still want to win, of course, your tournament atmosphere on Saturday, and you want to be able to win tonight against Covenant Christian. I believe, talk to Liam Davis, I think they're 2-4 in the season, I believe. So struggling a little bit, but Pendleton Knights, I think they, you know, if they can come out bats going maybe tonight for the first time, maybe all season, if they can get, you know, maybe 5 or 6 runs, be able to kind of get a lead and extend it throughout the game. But this is one of those weeks, you know, you don't want to say it's, oh, it's just a down week, but without having a conference opponent, I think the pressure's off a little bit. Yes, there's a tournament Saturday, and it's not county. It's still a tournament that means a lot to this baseball team. So we'll see if they can obviously go up. I think they probably play 3 games this week if they could win the first one on Saturdays. Hopefully they can go away, like we said, with softball, 2-1, if not 3-0, to be able to continue this record and continue to be over 500.
Yeah, and just looking at the stats here now, on the girls' side of things, pretty limited pitching-wise. I believe we've seen 2, maybe 3 pitchers so far this year. Pendleton Knights baseball team has pitched 46 innings so far in their 7 games, spread through 9 different pitchers.
Wow.
No one is knowing who to expect here for this team. Obviously, they have their idea of who their ace is. Jackson Mayfield had a great game. Carson Colley got off to the season, not an ideal start. Braden Stevenson is the most innings pitched on this team right now. Or Brody Stevenson, sorry. His brother Braden, senior last year, yep. Kind of confused with that. But you don't really know who to expect, and they've got a great rotation here. I mean, Liam Davis is kind of, he hasn't got any saves, but he's been in that spot to save a game, I believe, twice this year. I like what they got, the versatility.
Yeah, and like we said, I think it happens a lot more in baseball because you have the pitch count. So to be able to have 8 or 9 guys you can go to in a situation, obviously you got your starters, probably a handful of 4 or 5, maybe even 6 guys, but when you can have kind of the depths, you know, the setup players and then a closer, maybe Liam Davis or a couple other guys that can, they can do that. So I think that's important to have in baseball, because if you don't have versatility, it's hard to win a lot of games. If you can only count on your ace and maybe one relief pitcher, well, obviously Pendleton Knights has a lot more than that. So I think that's going to keep them in a lot of games. Yeah, they've had, you know, the one, you know, 4-run loss to Yorktown, but they had a 1-run win against HSE and then a 1-run win against Yorktown to start the week. So I think it just goes to show, if you can have good pitching and decent hitting, you can be in a lot of games, because you can have those situations where you may be up a run, you need a save, you maybe go to Liam or you go to, you know, other pitchers on the staff, and you're able to utilize that to come out and close those games. So that's important to have down the stretch, and I think this Arabian baseball team has that, and that's what's going to help help them the rest of the season and the rest of the way they go.
Yeah, that'll do it for this Coach's Show. Thanks for tuning in. Whether you listen for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or the whole broadcast, we really appreciate it. We couldn't do any of this without you guys listening or our sponsors and contributors. We'll be at it 2 days this week, Wednesday, girls softball versus LaPel, and then Thursday right after versus Fisher. So 2 midweek games for the softball team we'll be covering. I believe I'm on both of those calls.
Right,
so
yeah, you are, yeah.
We'll see you there. Stay tuned for more on the Arabian Sports Network Coach's Show, 91.7 WEEM.
High school sports are unique compared to other youth sports programs. They develop a special kind of player that every team needs, a glue guy.
A glue guy's performance isn't measured in stats, and their impact doesn't show up on a highlight reel.
And girls can be glue guys too. They're the players who are always willing to die for a loose ball, take a charge, or keep the energy of the bench up. They're the element that keeps a team's chemistry intact.
High school sports are where glue guys have a chance to develop. Will they learn that intangibles are just as important as skill?
Developing glue guys is one of the things that makes high school sports essential. After they leave high school, glue guys are the teammates who help make businesses, families, and communities successful. I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Neidig. Buy a ticket to your school's athletic events and support high school sports, building up the glue guys we all need. This is celebrating their impact. This is honoring their pride. This is your IHSAA.
Attention all 90s lovers. You don't have to go searching for the best 90s songs. It's all right here. We're rewinding the clock back every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 9 o'clock for 90s at 9. All your favorite hits on your favorite student-run station. 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. We greatly appreciate all of our donors and underwriters who help make this possible. This is 91.7 WEEM.